Larry Lindt Flooring in Wendell, Pennsylvania. We lay only the best. Call Larry Lindt Flooring in Wendell, Pennsylvania at 724-446-0480. That's 724-446-0480. PA number 004471.
Can't get up for this kind of game. Lord have mercy.
Trib Live Radio presents the Steelers Roundtable with Trib Steelers writers Mark Cabali, Ralph Polk, and Chris Adamski. We talk Steelers 365 days a year. The best Steelers coverage is on Trib Live Radio. The Steelers Roundtable starts now.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Steelers Roundtable. I'm Ralph Polk, joined by the Steelers lead beat writer, Mark Cabali.
In studio.
In studio.
We're all in
Chris
studio.
And Chris Adamski. No one's at the facility.
When was the last time we were all in studio?
It's been a while. Probably a month or so. At least a month.
I think we've probably only done it once since, I don't know. Either somebody's been away, we've been at camp.
Practice.
Does that count?
I'm not quite sure why there's no morning availability today. Maybe they're going to Dave and Buster's or something and partying this morning.
Maybe the loss to Baltimore last Thursday has changed their attitudes about a lot of things, even the schedule. But let's talk about that for a second before we even get to next Monday night's game in San Diego. I don't know what we learned from that game. I think part of what we learned is that when you look at Ben Roethlisberger, when Tyler Haley took over as the offensive coordinator, there were a lot of complaints about it. There was a lot of, maybe being with this strong road, with the way Todd Haley wanted to do things. But ultimately, Mark and Chris, Ben Roethlisberger became very efficient in our offense. And it was clear that, the way he did things, he was the tandem between the relationship between he and Antonio Brown. I think now we can never underestimate just how important that is to that offense. Because we saw with Michael Vick last week, not a quarterback who can't get it done, but obviously a quarterback who's going to take some time for him to become efficient in offense the way Ben Roethlisberger would. It took Ben at least, I think, a year and a half to get settled into that offense, and it showed in that loss to Baltimore. There were things that they did, with Michael Vick that they wouldn't do with Ben Roethlisberger. This is obvious. The fourth down call to run. And then the fourth down pass, in overtime, giving Baltimore position them, to make that play. And you had to get the sense that once, Josh Scobie missed that field goal or didn't have a chance to kick a field goal, Baltimore's going to win. Justin Tucker is one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. But what is that loss, though, guys? What does it do to the psyche of this football team?
Hey, it's a division loss. That's the part that really kind of – you could have taken a three-game lead over Baltimore. Now you lost a division game at home, which not only affects you against Baltimore and keeps them alive in the race and keeps them potentially winning a tiebreaker over you at some point down the road. It also hurts your tiebreaker against Cincinnati down the road. You're at 500. You could have really stolen a game there with your backup quarterback against your rival. And I know they were 0-3, and this isn't the best Ravens team by any stretch of the imagination. It's not a very good Ravens team as far as their teams have gone so far. But with the backup quarterback and everything, you're expecting that we talked last week about, getting through this 500 would be fantastic if you're the Steelers. So you still have chances to kind of redeem yourself. But this is a game. Hey, when you got a 13-point lead in the second half, you got to win the football game. I don't even care who you're playing, and they didn't win the game. And I think those types of things make it more frustrating than just your. If they would have came out and then Baltimore took an early lead and they won the game. Maybe the defense, Flacco had a good game going deep or whatever it is, even though he doesn't have any weapons to do it with, which is why the Ravens aren't good enough, they may be accepted. But the circumstances of it are what kind of makes it, I think, a little more painful of a loss than just a normal loss.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean I have to talk?
Yes, you do.
I was watching the Bucco highlights here on the television here in the studio.
Another sad day in Pittsburgh, but anyway.
It's a little gloomy. It's fitting. Sort of like gloomy. I mean, I don't think we could have expected much more out of the Vic and the offense and the Steelers, to be honest with you. When you're up 20-7 in the second half, I mean, I think you should be able to hold on to that lead. And when you take into account he had one walkthrough, Vic, and that offense to get up to speed with each other, I think it was quite amazing to be able to be in that position at that time. Now, to be able to put it away and winning it was a different, that didn't happen. I think we'll see a whole different type of offense and a level of execution Monday, because you got five practices, and that means a lot, I do believe. And you see something like yesterday, you're not seeing a guy like Antonio Brown take a day off. I mean, he typically never does, but if he was, it was going to be yesterday. But he's out there trying to get, you know, linked up, synced up with Mike Vick. And I think at this point, I think even if you can see the huge drop-off, I mean, we all knew there was going to be a drop-off between Ben and Vick. But I don't think this is a – I don't think this is saying anything bad about Vick, but more good about Ben, about the big of a drop-off. You can really notice. And I think Steeler fans and NFL fans have been kind of spoiled by what this quarterback has been able to do and how the ease of he's been able to do over the past year and a half. And I think that came rushing to the forefront last week. Like, oh, my goodness. I think this is how the Steelers played – you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, try to not keep it close. I mean, I think Vic did everything he was supposed to do, right? Not turn the ball over, not make the big mistake early, keep you in the game, have a chance for your kicker to maybe win it in the end. That's how they used to win games. Mm-hmm. They never used to win games by putting up 600 yards, and they were right in that position. So I think considering it was a bad loss because how they lost, I don't think it was a – devastating thing. I think there's hope after something like that.
Yeah, well, you look at it, you're talking about how they lost this game, but this is typical of how Baltimore beats Pittsburgh. You know, you're in a situation where, you know, what has happened over the years defensively is that, you know, the Steelers be able to make plays. You know, when they were winning Super Bowls, when they're getting to the playoffs consistently, even when Roethlisberger was playing poorly, the defense is winning games. That's not the case now. In this situation, Baltimore made the plays defensively. You can blame coaching. You can blame Haley. You can blame Tomlin for poor play calling, poor decision making. What do you want to do? But the bottom line is, on 4th and 2, you know, the Ravens defense made the stop. On 4th and 1, they made the stop. Now, these are the kind of things that Baltimore does every time they beat this team. You know, they defensively, they make the plays. And they're not a very good defensive team. And I think Mark has mentioned that many, many times already.
Not a very good team in general.
But when they play the Steelers, because it is a rival game, these things tend to happen. And when you look at, and I agree, Mark, I think you can't really judge, you know, Michael Vick on this one game about how well he can perform in his offense. You know, but there is a reality about this, is that, you know, this is a team. When I look at it, I'm saying to myself, there are situations, 4th and 2, 4th and 1, the best football player on this team, arguably, I would say, Antonio Brown and, you know, Le'Veon Bell. And so the question is, why does Le'Veon Bell, why does your best football player have the ball in the hands in that situation?
So you have a problem with the 4th and 2 where the play was there, the play was open. All you had to do is expect a guy who's been in the league forever to make a 4-yard pass and – I don't have a problem with it.
No,
the play was there. It just wasn't executed.
But I think folks are saying, though, who's the best football player on your team? Who's the best weapon on your team? You know, it's like, well, you want to give him the ball. That's, I know it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but you wait. You sat out 2 games. You know that Le'Veon Bell is clearly one of the best offensive players in the league. You got to live and die with that guy as opposed to the backup quarterback. That is my point. But I understand. Now, I thought the play calling, they're taking a lot of flack for this, a lot of criticism for it. As a matter of fact, I took a lot of flack for grading this coaching staff really generously, you know, giving them a B. But I think more than anything, maybe I was grading them on a curve because they had a backup quarterback and because his offense is used to everything that Ben Roethlisberger does. You know, so this is I think the whole offense was affected by not having him in the game.
I don't think if you just necessarily give Le'Veon Bell the ball there, he gets a first down, number one. And number two is it doesn't really mean that they're not going to have to punt in 3 plays from there. So I'm not saying you're doing this, but to put everything on a failed 4th and 1 play, I think – is sort of short-sighted. I don't think it's just one equates to a win.
And this isn't just a knee-jerk, like, blame the kicker thing I'm saying here, although it's going to sound like it, and I guess on some level
it is.
Well,
they cut it.
But yeah, if Scobie makes that field goal at the end of the fourth quarter, I know it's a long field goal. I know everything
41,
else.
No, was it 41?
41 yards.
Was it 49?
Well, the second one was 41. Mm-hmm. The first one was, well, I guess, either
49.
One.
I could have made 41.
If the kicker makes the field goal, all this stuff is irrelevant.
Exactly.
We're actually talking that the defense made some stops. The defense made a lot of stops in the fourth quarter.
Well,
made multiple
you know
stops
what? When Harrison had his
overtime.
Harrison had his
short
sack.
Yardage plays, right?
If Harrison had his sack at the 2-minute warning and they let that run down to 1:59, but then they put 4 seconds back on the clock, those 4 or 5 seconds, they put it back on. It was legit. That's when it happened. But Harrison picked up the ball. However, what I'm saying is the game's over.
Because it's an extra.
Literally, it's 5 seconds get underneath
40 seconds
there.
So the clock is an extra play.
So, you know, defense come up with some big plays, and I don't think you could have – you know, I hate to say that, ask much more of the defense, but they did give up 190 yards rushing, but it didn't seem like it was – too terribly hurting them. I mean, you know what I'm
saying?
They
are who they are. This isn't the 2008 Steelers defense. This isn't the 1975 Steelers defense.
Why would you choose 75?
Because that was the
glory year.
76. I'm sorry. 76
was the best 74, year.
You're right. 70. I apologize.
That's like the best team that never won it because everybody was hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. They went to Oakland and they thought their two running backs and. If you're a Steelers fan, there's a fantastic NFL film special about that Raiders team because the Raiders are so proud of that one Super Bowl where they beat the Steelers and they lost the Steelers every other year, and they're proud of beating them one time, which is kind of funny. but if this defense is in the top half of the league, you know, they are who they are. You can't blame them and say they're going to shut every team out and you're only going to allow 38 rushing yards a game or whatever it is. They're probably going to give up some points, give up some yardage. So to sit here and tear them apart because they didn't dominate the game. They're not going to dominate any games. And I think they've been better than expected, especially without Shazier for a couple of your games, and especially without, I don't want to say without Shamarco Thomas because he's there. But you went in the offseason, entire 6 month span planning on this guy being your starting strong safety.
This secondary, as I wrote today, is starting to gel. You know why? Because they're finally playing together. They got five guys. I identified five guys in the secondary, and they've played nearly every snap together and over the past 3 weeks. And it's not by coincidence. And the secondary is playing a little bit better right now, even if it is Ross Cockrell. What'd you call him? Cottrell?
Cockrell.
Ross Cockrell coming up with a pick or an interception. So I think there's positives around here. The question is if they can keep their head above water, so to speak, until the big guy comes back. If they're able to do that, they'll be all right. But, they got a couple tough ones rolling up in a row here.
Now, speaking of, we can get to this game on Monday night, San Diego. This is a team. Had an impressive win over San Diego. They were fortunate to beat Cleveland. And only Cleveland can lose a game, by jumping offside on a field goal that's wide from 37 yards. And to give them another chance to win it, it's so typical Cleveland. But still, this team is 2-2. San Diego is a decent football team. And I say decent because they have a good quarterback in Phillip Rivers. They have a lot of weapons in offense, but half of it is injured. Half the offensive line is hurt. Keenan Allen and has been hurt. The receiving core is pretty much decimated. I mean, they only had two healthy receivers in the second half of the Cleveland game.
And I guarantee you don't know what the guy's name was, too. What was his name?
Well, I know it's not Stevie Johnson because some people don't know.
Keenan Allen. This is a football team still, that have weapons on offense despite all that. Especially
it's
Melvin Gordon,
around,
I think, is
– It's all centered around Rivers, though, right?
It's all about Phillip Rivers.
Just like the Steelers are.
Well, Steelers have much more weapons. I mean, you're getting Gates back, and that's going to be an issue this week, even if Gates are green. But, the tons – you see, what I don't know, Ralph, you're the guy that watches the film. You too, Buzz. Wasn't I always been told that the past couple of years? I just like saying it to other people. Yeah. You're our X and the O's guys, Buzz. So
well, let me X and O this too.
You know, X and O stuff. It seems like the Chargers.
There's two things I noticed about San Diego, and this is why I think the Steelers can go to San Diego feeling pretty confident about what they can do. I think offensively they're pretty simple. You know what they're going to do. They get those split receivers out. They use two tight ends for the most part. You're talking about that with Gates and Legarius Green. And I think with Melvin Gordon, they're trying to get him more involved with the running game. I think the Steelers' defense can match up with this team okay. I really believe that. Now, defensively, you look at this team, there's a huge problem defending the run for San Diego. They're 29th in the league against the run.
They need Cam Thomas back. That's what that is. They need Cam Thomas back.
But what I understand is why teams don't run the ball more. I mean, the Browns had some success and they went away from it. I do believe if they feed the ball, to Le'Veon Bell 30 times in this game, 25, 30 times in the game, they win it.
Yeah, I mean, their strength is what, their secondary? I think they got a number one pick at the corner. Weddle's pretty good safety. I don't know how good Teo's doing at linebacker.
Overrated, man.
Yeah, you haven't heard much of him since his fake girlfriend became fake. So I don't know how good he's been, but it's definitely there for the taking. But, I mean, in years past, San Diego likes to run some of those shallow crossing routes from their wide receivers, and that's one thing the Steelers can't cover. Any type of crossing routes, man, they get totally screwed up on that one. I think the X factor is Rivers, man. The guy can get motivated, fired up, red hot and just lead this team. I mean, he leads the league in passing right now. He has 1,300 some yards, 8 touchdowns. It's all goes
and
around
so much
him,
of that
man.
Yards though is coming with you know, Melvin Gordon and David Woodhead, and that's who the Steelers seem to be.
Woodhead's a
most
tough
fearful
matchup.
They're very fearful of David Wood and what he can do. You know, their linebackers it's a nightmare matchup for them. But you know, if you can negate what the receivers can do and just give Woodhead his carries, his receivers, he can probably get 6-7 catches in a game.
That's probably why Shazier would
let him bust it, those
be important back this week.
Exactly.
For somebody like Woodhead and even Timmons. I saw Timmons, you know how they do. They put you know different jerseys on the show team,
the scout team,
whatever you want to call it. And somebody had the Woodhead jersey on, and they split him out wide right, and Timmons had to go cover him. I'm like, well, I don't think that's a matchup you really want, Danny Woodhead.
You don't want Harrison Timmons. That's a nightmare.
That's one already, too. There.
In week one, they played a team which, well, it was Danny Wood. It's like the new and improved Danny Woodhead the Patriots have now, and they have Antonio Gates, the Hall of Famer, but he's not Rob Gronkowski at this moment that Gronkowski is as a player. But those are the types. It's not like the actual wide receivers by definition of the Patriots were what tore the Steelers apart. So, and it's a similar, and in that sense, it's a similar type of team you're playing.
We're 15 you know, Chris, minutes into the show, and we haven't said the word Martavis Bryant yet.
Well, let's get to Martavis Bryant.
I did.
Really?
But first,
or should
all,
we call him Martavius?
I wanted to ask Chris this though.
He's the X and O's guy.
About Mike McCoy talking about this is a game of matchups for him. Is this a matchup that you think favors the Steelers when it comes to their defense against their offense?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
why don't you like the Steelers' defense? They've played well in them.
I think they haven't played that well, but
considering what we thought they were going to be playing
but you're not like they're playing a bad offense. There's two things you're evaluating here. Do you think the Steelers
they haven't played a great offense? Let's be realistic. Except
week
for the
one,
Patriots.
I mean, they only held Brady to 288 and 28 points. Nobody else has been able to hold him down that, and they've allowed two.
But we all know
200-yard passers and Foles, who lit up – who did Foles lit up last night? Arizona and Flacco, who lit up Cincinnati. So it's not like he's been playing schlubs.
San Francisco.
It's not like – I mean, Kaepernick put up late
the
yards.
The defense apologists.
No, I just think – I think right now we were assuming this defense was going to suck. And right now they don't suck. I think they're –
I agree. They're not bad, but let's don't get delusional. I don't think
it's only four games in now.
It's four games. Who's the best wide receiver they face in four games? I guess that's an honest question.
Edelman's pretty good, but he had probably about a dozen catches. Torrey Smith, who they play St. Louis.
Yeah. Amendola.
I mean, they're going to have their hands cut – or as Hines Ward said, they're going to have their hands cut out for themselves coming up here with Keenan Allen, with even the rejuvenated Larry Fitzgerald – who all of a sudden, you know, I dumped him in my keeper fantasy league because he was an old fart that couldn't catch the ball. Now he's getting 12 catches a game now.
On that note, I want to say something before we get to your boy Martavis Bryant. Martavius.
Whatever. I mean, whatever name it is, we mispronounce it.
You look at this schedule. You know, they play San Diego, then they home against Arizona, on the road against Kansas City.
They got three or four at home after this.
At Cincinnati. Right? Three in a row.
Four or five at home after this?
Three in a row when they play. But
this money time, baby.
I would say this is the key to their season.
I agree.
The road games at Kansas City, San Diego, home against Arizona, Cincinnati. Two teams that are capable of getting to the conference championship.
After this week, they got four or five at home before they play, you know, on the road against tough teams, against divisional games. So if Ben is pointing towards a November return, that's right around when this homestand wraps up. So this is a kind of a big stretch.
So how many of these games, Chris, do they have to win? These four games coming up, how many do they have to win to keep their playoff hopes alive before Ben comes back?
I've said if they can be at 500 when Ben comes back. Now you're at 500 overall. So if you got four games, I guess that means you got to go 2-2. If you're under 500, if you're 3-4, would say if that's, well, that'd be the quickest Ben.
You just
come back.
Can't answer a question normal, can you? You're like you're arguing
four,
with yourself here.
He said they're 4-4 by the time Ben gets back. Then
to say 4-4 when he comes back. I mean, you're like to yourself in your head.
3-5 ends the season. It's a very nuanced question. Or 5-3 means they're going to win the Super Bowl. Or 4-4 is going to be any. There's not a direct
what puts
line.
Them in the best position.
But do they
win
all
four?
It's
the best position.
Well, legitimate. We know they're not going to win all four. I mean, I think if they go, they're 4-4 when he comes back, I think they're in good shape. Right?
That's all you can ask for. Be 500, then you got your franchise quarterback. You know, what are you going
to
go?
It's going to take him a while to get back up to
speed.
Win
6 out of 8 with him as your quarterback, then you win 10 games. 10 games should get you in the playoffs.
All of a sudden, this end of the schedule doesn't look very difficult. Indianapolis looks bad. Denver looks bad.
Right. Except for those three games.
Denver looks terrible. I mean, their defense is good.
Four games on the road.
My goodness. Cincinnati, they'll beat Cincinnati a game or so. Cleveland's horrible.
They always do.
The traveling road show in December of us driving all around the Northeast.
I'm going to have to be
in the snow in December.
I'm going to have to be.
But here's the thing, though, guys. You know, when I look at the schedule this stretch here, you know, you would assume, you say, hey, they're going to have a tough time beating San Diego and Kansas City on the road. Maybe they can handle Arizona and Cincinnati. But this has been this team's pattern over the last couple of years. Think about the home games they lost last year.
Well, they just lost to an 0-3 team last week.
They lost to New Orleans. They lose to New Orleans. They lose to Tampa Bay at home. And I'm saying to myself, it looks like Arizona and Cincinnati are always gettable. The tough teams at home, they can handle sometimes. But I worry more. I think most fans are saying, you know what, I'm concerned more about, you know, losing to San Diego and losing to Kansas City, and beating Cincinnati,
Arizona.
Kansas City's
only
1-3. It's the
way
they've played. It's their pattern over the last couple of years.
Kansas City's only 1-3 now. I mean, I think that's a pretty good 1-3.
But it's a road game, right?
It's not an easy place to play up in Kansas City. I was there maybe in 0-3. All I remember about that game is they served some really good custard at halftime.
Custard.
I don't know
they keep doing that.
I don't know.
The custard was tremendous. 0-3, that was the infamous that was the last time I was there. The fall of the – that was their 6-10 year. They were 1-0, and they scored like 10 points. And I think – who was it? Dante Hall maybe? Boy, am I on – I digress here. Dante Hall took a kickback, and the season went straight downhill after it. They ended up losing like 4 in a row and 5-6 and went 6-10, then drafted Ben Roethlisberger. So that Kansas City game
– was the best thing ever
happened. Best thing that ever happened to
him. Hey, let's talk now. Could Martavis Bryant coming back this week be the best thing to happen to Michael Vick? Yeah, he has a couple of weapons. He's going to have, you know, clearly Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton, and not having Martavis Bryant. But I'm not saying that Darius Hayward Bay did a bad job, you know, in his stead. But how much is this going to change his offense with Michael Vick having, you know, Martavis Bryant, you know,
the very first play, Michael Vick wearing black and gold?
But he did hurt his knee.
He called it monumental, Vic, on Monday, whenever, Friday. He goes, our first play was monumental. I'm like, it was a preseason game, Mike. I don't quite use the word monumental with that throw.
But how is he, though? I mean, he was limping around yesterday, Mark.
Yeah,
what's the deal?
You know, it's some kind of soreness, some sort of lower body extremity. That, of course, I know what it is, but I'm not allowed to say because I might get shot by somebody over there because I obtained it illegally. Let's just say it's a lower
I'll just say I saw him limping in the cafeteria. How's
yes,
that?
He's definitely limping, Martavis. My question is, why is Mike Tomlin playing this game? They have until Monday to 3:58, he says, or 4 o'clock to make a decision if they're going to activate him or not. Why in the world would you not activate Martavis Bryant if he's healthy? Well, you know, they don't need to. I mean, for the love of God, he's a difference maker, a game changer. This is very simple football with Mike Vick and Martavis Bryant. It's like this. Hey, Martavis, run far and fast. Mike, throw the ball as far as you can. And that's it. I mean, you don't need XOs. You don't need scheme protection. You don't need anything else.
Last year.
Throw it as fast as you can. And if you get somebody behind, you got a choice if you're a secondary of San Diego. You either leave Martavis one-on-one deep down the field, or you rotate a safety over there. You can't double cover that Antonio Brown. So, I mean, if I'm Todd Haley, I'm like, run deep as much as you can. You force the safety over there and bring Antonio underneath. The question is, can Vic get him the ball? I don't know. I think Martavis
he still
huge.
Had one of the strongest arms in football.
Well, if it's on rhythm across the middle, I'm not too sure that Mike Vic can make that throw 99 out of 100 times.
I hate to say this, but are we quite sure that Martavis is that good of a route runner in those types of situations? How much did we see of that last year?
Throw the ball deep.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. So you just said you're not sure if Mike Vick. I'm not.
I'm just saying with Antonio underneath.
Oh, Antonio.
To clear it out. And I mean, one thing I think we all agree with, they got to get him the ball more. First of all, he quits pouting. Well, second of all, it's because he's the best player.
Well, for the first
field.
Time now in, what, 35 games, he did not have. You know, five
Thank
catches.
God. And get that out of the way, man.
It's like, man, if they say that one more time in a press box, I'm leaving. But, you know, it's just one of those deals where the larger point about what happened to Antonio Brown against Baltimore, it's not as Baltimore has, you know, some of the best corners in the league. We know that's not true.
I think like Ladarius Webb and Jimmy Smith? You don't like those guys?
No, not really.
You don't like Joe Hayden either.
No, he's one of the worst. In fact, I would say this, though. I think this goes to the heart of how important chemistry is between a quarterback and a wide receiver. I don't want to go back. We already covered part of this. But still, I think Martavis Bryant does make a big difference in his offense, and not just with the passing game. I mean, if you split these guys out now, and you have to account again for Le'Veon Bell, as a receiver, and I still think they can get the ball to him more in the passing game.
Let's shift gears here a little bit. So, Martavis, I'm curious your opinion here. Do you think Martavis's issues are behind him? I mean, I talked to him Monday a little bit.
Why don't you just say what you mean?
You think he's done smoking the weed?
Yes, okay.
You think he's done?
Is he done smoking weed?
You know what? Because you figure it out. The guy has been in the league, 16 games plus 4, 20 games. He's been fined 4-game check, 2-game check. What I'm saying is the guy ain't making much money. And he don't have much money in the pocket. He can make some money come here in 2 years.
Well, here are the magic words. Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, Josh Gordon, he's learned his lesson. He's going to stop smoking dope. He knows he's getting paid big bucks. He's making the living is easy.
Was he getting paid already or no? Did Gordon get in a contract?
He got a big contract.
So that's a little different.
It didn't matter. I mean, you're talking about job security here. I think, quite frankly, that Martavis Bryant is a smart guy. I really do. But does that equate to being able to, kick the habit? Now I can't make a moral judgment on what Martavis Bryant, whether or not he's going to stop doing it. What I would say this is that he's not the only one. And Ryan Clark mentioned before, he's not the only one probably on that team. And we know that you start running back Le'Veon Bell suspended 2 games for smoking marijuana. So I think, as Ryan Clark mentioned several times, and a lot of players have mentioned over the years, is that this is just the way it is. It's a recreational drug for a lot of players in the NFL. And it won't be the first time, it won't be the last time they get suspended for this. Until the league comes down, and they have in many ways come down hard and heavy, on marijuana. But I think as you look at, legislation, but every state across this country now, whether it's Colorado or Washington, you're going to be, the NFL now is going to be facing this slippery slope. Is that it's going to be legal in certain states. And if a player smokes marijuana, but the bottom line is the NFL policy is a drug policy. These conflicts, obviously. Your question. I beat around. I did a buzz on you.
Yeah, I see that. You're asking your own questions.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think it's the end. That's just me personally.
I think the NFL is very lenient on pot smoking. This is 4 times the sucker's got busted. Busted. He's like 4 times in 16 months he got busted down. Well, he finally gets suspended.
It wasn't it 4 times in 10? They're claiming they knew at the draft. So isn't that 4 times in
he might have had something after. I don't know the specifics of it. Yeah, I don't think any of us know. But I know it's a lot.
Yeah.
And my problem is the decision-making. And he told me flat out, I'm confident this will not happen again. I don't know if I'm confident this will not happen again, but
the Steelers talk a lot about these character guys. Well, they drafted these guys,
and I think these characters thought. I mean, is that a character issue or is that just a stupidity issue?
I think most people when they talk about the Rooneys or anyone else, they talk about character issues that would involve drugs. You taking them, whatever you're doing. I think that is. I think basically, kid's a nice kid. But if he's been smoking marijuana all his life, you just can't turn it off right now. That's what it is. The league does have drug protocol. They do have programs. They do have things that will kind of help the players get over this. So does a 4-game suspension deter him from doing it again? I don't know.
You would think that if you get to I guess the first warning didn't scare you stiff. I don't know. I mean, we were all 21, 20, what is he, 22 now, I guess, 22 years old. And
I didn't smoke marijuana.
Well, I just mean.
Speak for yourself,
Buzz.
Don't
you see the big.
Let me put words. Look at the Tribune Review's.
Can I finish a sentence?
Look at
this.
I didn't inhale.
Look at this. The Tribune Review's cover on ESPN this morning, or MLB. Fucked over. I would like Sucktober or something like that.
I didn't inhale that, just in case you wanted to know.
You guys, you talk about yourself.
Let me finish my sentence.
You're saying I'm smoking pot. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm taking offense to this. I'm like D'Angelo Williams.
I'm saying you don't see the big picture of life. It's easy for us to say when he got his first warning or his second warning, okay, eventually you're going to start losing game checks and start losing money, and it might affect the Steelers wanting to re-sign you or another team re-signing you. This is dollar signs. It's just your future that every time you get suspended, even just the four-game check, okay, now it's another black mark on your resume that when you do become a free agent, the Steelers don't want to re-sign you, another team might pause a little bit. There's not much of a thing. Your stats hurt. Your stats now this year when you go into free agency with your agent aren't going to be as great because you're only playing 12 games instead of four. All these things happen, but maybe as a 21-year-old, 22-year-old, you're not thinking that. You don't think the big picture ahead, and it didn't scare you straight is what I'm trying to get at when you get these things. No matter what you think about the transgression, it's still against your workplace rules. We have workplace rules here. I mean, this place is perfect, of course. There's never anything wrong. But in theory, there are some things that we don't like that are rules that maybe aren't against the law,
tweet
that aren't against whatever, that we have to adhere by. And if you don't, there are consequences. Maybe he just didn't because the youthful indiscretion. Maybe you're just young. You don't understand. You're invincible. He's going to play until he's 50, he thinks in his mind, and make $100 million.
So you're saying in the outside world, you can tweet whatever you want. But within the Trib company, if you get tweet something not very favorable, you can be punished for it.
Well, I got a 4-week suspension for.
Could you possibly,
after my fourth bad tweet? That's what I need to get four bad tweets before I.
Then
get
you
done.
Lose a game check, a paycheck.
A paycheck, yeah, maybe.
Well, especially with your free agency coming up here, right?
Could I go to Twitter rehab and maybe be?
But bottom line is, at least he went and got help. I don't know, John Lucas, whatever. He spoke glowingly of him. At least if it was forced on him or if it was his idea, at least he went and got some help, and that's better than I can probably say for Josh Gordon, right?
I hear you.
It might. Give the guy another chance and see what happens. But the next chance, I think, cut him down.
Yeah, this is one of those options. The Steelers, they can deal with all this stuff, during the season, during the off season. But the bottom line is, Martavis Bryant, they need to help this offense going forward. Because this scratch that we mentioned before, San Diego, Arizona, Kansas, Cincinnati, they're going to have to outscore some of these teams that do have, especially Cincinnati has a pretty good offense. San Diego has a good offense. It may come down to just scoring a lot of points. We'll take a break and come back with more of the Steelers Roundtable.
Broken windshield? Call Stanton Auto Glass at 412-377-1954. Special cash prices. Lifetime warranty. Over 25 years of experience. Mobile service. $100 off insurance deductible. Call Stanton Auto Glass at 412-377-1954 for details. Online at stantonautoglassreplacement.com. Good luck to all the teams this year from IANB, Insurance Agents and Brokers, an independent insurance brokerage representing over a dozen carriers with locations in Trenum and Arnold, Pennsylvania. Ali Kiske Valley Reader's Choice Gold Award winner. Visit us online at ALLI-INS.com.
Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, located on 6th Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Fast and free delivery. Give them a call at 412-281-7060. Lunch special starting at just $7.49 with selections including small grilled chicken salad, a bowl of soup, two cuts of pizza and a small garden salad, penne pasta, garlic bread and a small salad, half a hoagie and french fries or half a hoagie and a can of pop. That's 412-281-7060. You can even order online. Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta in downtown Pittsburgh and online at ilovegiovannis.com.
Now back to the Steelers Roundtable on Trib Live Radio.
Steelers Roundtable here on Trib Live Radio. Rob Polk joined again by Mark Capoli and Chris Adamski. Gentlemen, we didn't talk a whole lot about this kicking situation with the Steelers. I think for the most part, by and large, I think for the most part, fans, perhaps even coaches, take for granted the value of a place kicker.
I do.
And clearly, I think when Baltimore, with a kid like Justin Tucker, they rely so much on him. He's won how many games, 9, 10, in just his short, brief career, in the fourth quarter and in overtime. And now the Steelers, we can lay blame all over the place, but when you miss a 49-yarder and a 41-yard kick, but even more than that, when the coaching staff clearly has lost confidence in you to kick a 50-yarder in overtime,
I would have
a chance to win a game.
Would you have kicked that?
I would have because I think it's an opportunity to win the football game. And you've got to say, if your defense, as you know, I think as Chris had mentioned before, they're not bad, but they are better, you know, than they were a year ago. And so my defense can hold their offense to keep them from going in. But we realize, and I think sitting there in the press box, and Chris and I talked about this, is that you just get the sense, if they don't get it done, Baltimore will. Because that's their history against this football team, is that Justin Tucker is going to make that kick from 52 yards. You just know it's going to happen. You know, so you give up the opportunity to win the game. But the larger picture, before I get sidetracked here and lose total focus, is that this is a team now that fires Josh Scobie because of that, because of two missed kicks, and because they didn't have any confidence in the kick to win in overtime. Then you go out and you hire Chris Boswell, a kid who was sitting at his home in Dallas, you know, Fort Worth, after getting cut by the Giants, you know, a couple months ago. And here he is now, you know, in this league. He has not attempted one field goal kick. And there were other kickers out there. You know, Connor Barthman, one who was just signed by Tampa Bay, you know, a couple of days ago. And experienced kickers who had game time experience. What does it say, Mark and Chris? Do the Steelers not value kickers? Considering they're going through four now already, is that you will hire a kid on a team that you think is playoff ready who has never played a game, never had a kick in a football game?
That's a curious decision on me because Mike Tomlin's only been around veteran kickers his entire career. He had Jeff Reed, inherited him, but Reed was already 5-6 years in the league. Swisham was in the league for a while. Then they go with who? Hartley and who am I missing? No, Scobie, all veterans, and all of a sudden you change your whole mode of operation here and go with a guy that's never kicked before. He tried to say on Tuesday that, yeah, we've been keeping our eye on him and blah, blah. If they're keeping your eye on him, why the heck don't you bring him in instead of Scobie then? I'm assuming he was cut by then or darn close by then, but it has to be a concerning for Tomlin. I mean, I don't know how well you can trust this guy in any situation because he's just never kicked in a game before. But, you know, another thing is it's not like your old school NFL anymore. Rookie kickers are a big part of this game anymore, and that's over the past 2 years. You're seeing a ton of them. I believe I looked this up yesterday, guys have never kicked in the league before. So it could be first-year guys or rookies. There's 14 of them that made teams over the past 2 years. And as little as 1996, there was like one, Adam Vinatieri. What I'm saying is it's a change in philosophy in the NFL that these young guys can get it done. I would have went more of a veteran type.
Well, they tried that. They tried that twice. Yeah. I mean, the one time he got
Hartley
hurt,
was fine.
Okay, he got hurt. Okay, whatever. But I mean, you could maybe say an older guy gets hurt. I don't know, but they tried it with Scobie. I mean, if we had this discussion 6 weeks ago and they brought in a rookie, okay, they didn't bring it, but they brought in a veteran once. It didn't work. There's no guarantee. When they signed Hartley, they had two other kickers in, veteran kickers in. They had veteran kickers in this day, and you know, we weren't there. I don't know. I mean, yeah, the guys have done it in the stadium, as Mike Tomlin would like to say. Well, that was literally in a stadium as well, but I guess in the stadium at nighttime or there's a bunch of people there and the game's on the line. But they did it already. They tried the veteran route. They gave up. I don't know if it's right to say they don't value kickers. They're investing probably more in kickers in terms of salary cap this space than anybody in the league this year because of the situation it is. Mm-hmm. I know that's not planned. And they also invested a draft pick, a six-round pick in a kicker this year, which I don't know how many teams in the league have done that. You know, you could say Jacksonville 11 years ago
for their punter. So,
it comes down to after you spend over $6 million for a couple of kickers, now you're in a situation where you have – can you not afford Connor Barr? Is that what we're talking about, Mark?
I think he would just be a minimum guy. You're going to pay the same guy the money. I don't know. I think Tomlin just threw his hands up and said, the hell with it, whoever – let's try a young guy this time. I honestly don't think he put much thought into it.
Well, at least Forbath, that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Put it with the Redskins.
Well, he
has some experience. He has some, you know, kicked in this league with the Redskins.
But he got beat out by a rookie, too, this year, just like Scobie got beat out by a young guy in Myers down there. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a young guy in San Diego this week.
There's an unknown there to see how he reacts when the game's on the line. But let's face it, Scobie had his chance when the game was on the line, and Tomlin lost faith in him. At the time, I had no problem. Like, at the time that those plays happened in overtime and the Steelers went for them,
Now the first one would have been a 50-something yarder, but that was exhibited A of what kicker value is. That game with Tucker being automatic from anywhere within 60 mm-hmm, yards, mm-hmm. and the Steelers not able to make a kick from anywhere.
Right.
That's the game tape for kicker value. That's every agent in the country who represents a kicker is gonna play that and say, here you go, kicker mm-hmm. you can't trust. Best kicker, one of the best kickers in the league.
Yeah, we're just talking about that game, that situation. But the other reality is that you consider the new rule changes. Now you're kicking, extra points from 33 yards. You know, things have been influenced by it. No one's had more 2-point attempts, than the Steelers. And why is that? Not because they didn't have faith in Sweetland to begin the season, or maybe even with Garrett Hartley or with Josh Scobie, making it from 33. But all these things have to come into consideration when you sign another kicker. Is he automatic from 33, and with a kickoff, it's no big deal. Now some teams are actually carrying three kickers. But the hard number, I think the Steelers taking a long look at here, is that, there were more than 30 missed kicks on Sunday. During this weekend, that's a lot of missed kicks.
Is that you doing research? What the hell?
It's just remarkable that you have that kind of number. But it also tells you just how important kickers are, because the reality is you get to a place like San Diego, which is a tough place to kick. And this is where they missed a 37-yard in overtime. The Browns, as they always do, they jumped offside to give them a second chance at it. Yes, kicking, I think, has always been important in this league, Chris and Mark. But it seems to be even more when you factor in all the rule changes, you factor in everything else. Boy, you just can't get around the fact that they're going to be in situations now, especially when you look at this next four-game stretch. If the defense can keep them hanging around the way they did against Baltimore, and the defense, they did. They made huge stops on fourth down and short yardage situations to give this team an opportunity, to win. So that means the kicker's going to come into play.
I don't know if the rule change did something, but it seems, unless it's a psychological, because it's not
what
just
is this
the extra
guy
points.
I'm playing
know.
With my phone. There we go.
Here we got to have. And why is it on me?
Because it's the only way I get it set up.
Okay. Hi, everybody in Periscope.
If you're not distracted, but go ahead.
I'm very distracted.
We're right in the middle. I don't even know what I was
We're talking now, kickers, so it's not much to be really,
you
really think about.
You over there, man?
I do take responsibility of myself saying that. I think I might have been the only one that said Sean Swisham would not have been a big loss. I think I was wrong. I admit it. I was wrong. I'm thinking, my goodness,
that's
it's a kicker.
Good,
you can find a kicker anywhere. There's millions of them out there. Apparently, you can't.
And it's been and whether it's a coincidence or not, this extra point rule, all the kicks have been missed. It's been a real storyline across the league through these 4 weeks so far. And in San Diego, if the Browns don't do something Browns and jump off sides, what are they talking about in San Diego? That cost them a game. They're 1-3 right now, losing at home to Cleveland because of a kick that wasn't even. We're not talking 40. Okay, yes, Scobie's a longtime veteran. He should make a 41-yarder, but we're talking a 33-yarder. You start missing those types of kicks, which I guess is about the extra point length, is the field goal he would have missed. I don't know if the extra point goes, but we're seeing, yes, it's answering our questions about the value of kickers, because all over the place and all around the league, kicking has become an issue. And Sweezen would be back next year, I guess. And he's
around every single day I see him at the facility. You think a kicker that's just trying to get healthy, that he would just – I think it's bothering him a lot. I saw Pouncey the other day. He's still limping. I don't know if we're going to see him anytime before Thanksgiving. I think they need him. I mean, boy, I'm changing off the subject here. It's another thing. I thought that they – I agree there. I said that they were going to miss Pouncey, and I think they do. I think
I'm not as hard on Cody Walls as you.
I don't think he's – I think he's struggling a lot. I think if Legerski didn't really stink – and you saw that in the preseason, that he would be at center right now. That's how bad it's been.
Is this a case where the coaching staff doesn't trust Cody Walls? I'm thinking to myself, unlike you guys, I'm thinking they're 4th-and-1. I'm thinking 4th-and-2. I'm thinking Le'Veon Bell. Are you saying that this offensive line, which we have praised for the most part of the season, as being one of the strong points of this football team, when you look across the board, but you're saying – having Cody Walls in there as opposed to Marquise Pouncey is changing what they want to do, change how they think offensively?
It might have, because Brandon Williams, he's a big, big man. I mean, Buzz, you're the stats man. I mean, what did Le'Veon end up having running the ball, 60-some yards? And he had 220-plus yards running, so to me he had a lot of 0, 1s, and 2s in that game.
But he did last year.
You know, that's what I'm saying is it was no guarantee.
Yeah, I didn't have too much of a problem. I didn't mind the play calls as much. It goes back to, you know, Mike Tomlin lost faith in Josh Scobie. He couldn't trust him. And I don't blame him. It's easy to say, like, could have kicked this 50-yard. They could have gone for the win. And at the time it happened, I didn't have any issue with it at all. Looking back at it, you can make more of a case. You made an excellent point. You have a chance to win the football game. You take that opportunity to win the game.
But if you missed the kick right there, you lose the football game.
Yeah, but obviously 4th-and-1's no slam dunk either.
Maybe they should have punted.
It's not like we're talking
go for the tie.
Essentially, what we're doing here is we're criticizing the coaching.
Yeah, of course.
Let's just get to this whole coaching. You know, it on the heels of, you know, the Dolphins fire, you know, they fire their coach, you know, Philbin. And
you call
for
the firing of Mike Tomlin?
I'm starting
a controversy.
No, we have not gotten it. We haven't gotten there yet.
San Diego, then we'll.
My reality is that, you know, at some point, though, you have to ask yourself about some of the curious coaching decisions. Now, I have a fast rule as a reporter. For 30 years, I've said, you know what, I don't question coaches about how they do things. But I give myself room enough to say, hey, wait a minute, that's a head scratcher for me. You know, to me, I want my best football player handling the football. That's all I'm saying.
You know what I want? I want my best home run hitter playing in the game, too. Boy, this is the week of the day of criticizing coaches, huh? You think Pedro Alvarez could have got 2 yards on that play?
Before we go into the Pirates, I guess what I'm really asking here is did Todd Haley call this game as well as he could with a backup quarterback?
I think he was afraid. Under the circumstances. The shackles were on, nice and tight. Vic, don't screw up. When in doubt, throw it away. Let's give ourselves
a chance.
Can you
win like that? Obviously,
look like they could, but they end up not. I think we won't see as much Reigns, you know. They let him go a little bit more.
If the kicker makes the kick at the end of regulation, we're not talking about any of that.
If Bill Cowher's coaching and they get a 10-point lead, they would have won too. Right?
they would have 106 yeah. and 1 or 0-1 or whatever.
The one game they lost whatever was against that. Vic.
And perhaps if it wasn't your hated rival, Baltimore, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. It seemed like, you know, losing to Tampa Bay and losing to the Jets and losing to New Orleans, you know, you kind of brush it aside. It was just a bad day. But you lost to the Baltimore Ravens. You kept alive their chances of winning the division. But all that said, now, before we get to ups and downs, let's talk about this division for a second. Are the Bengals that good? They're 4-0. Andy Dalton is probably playing the best football he's played in his career. You know, Mark, how I feel about Andy Dalton.
You don't like anybody. I'm just trying to think who you really like.
I don't know. Will Allen?
Yeah,
great football player.
Okay.
But Andy Dalton, though.
You just like people from Ohio.
But Andy Dalton is but Andy Dalton is having a pretty good season. For Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it's 4 games in, and I think that it's well documented. The Bengals have, you know, I believe they're just like the Pirates winning 98 games, and them losing one game doesn't detract from being a 98-win team and their one loss. And football is a different sport, of course. But the Bengals losing in the playoffs again, the first round, their first game, then it's going to be the same old story. But we know the Bengals are a good team. Their roster up and down at every position, stocked with talent. They have you know, first-round picks, and they're all over the place in the secondary. They have a good front seven, the offensive line. You have a couple pretty good running backs. You have one of the best receivers in the league. You can go up and down and talk about it. And yeah, they're 4-0, and heck, they got a 2-game lead right now, too.
Test this weekend. They play Seattle.
At home, though, right?
Yeah, at home.
I think
Pittsburgh has to go to Seattle at some
point,
too.
Seattle stinks.
Everybody stinks to you.
I mean, think about it. Their offense is awful. Lynch isn't playing.
Their
offensive line
two.
Stinks.
Stinks, stinks, stinks.
Everybody stinks, just like John Stagerwall would say. They stink. I mean, the only thing good about them is their kicker. And where did they get their kicker from is when Hauschka used to play for Baltimore, and when Tucker came in, they got rid of him. Baltimore had riches of kickers back in the day.
But ask you, Baltimore. Ask you, Mark. Ask you, Mark.
I've never been called Baltimore in my life.
Because I know how much you like them. How good is Cincinnati, though?
I think Cincinnati's a decent team. I mean, their offensive line is maybe the best in the league. And in this day and age, offensive lines stink in the NFL. All of them. So when you have a decent offensive line like the Bengals, that's why Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard's doing well. I think their defensive line, what does it take, a year plus for a ACL injury to heal properly? Geno Atkins, I think, is back because of that. And I think I'm a little suspect with their secondary. And the whole question is not what they do in a regular season, is if Andy Dalton can lead them to a playoff win.
And that's another reason why. See, now
you do it,
you're in a position. It's very, very early, and a lot could happen. So I hate to say this, but you're almost
it's not early. We're at the quarter pole.
Where you have to sweep the Bengals to win
really
the division.
Really not the quarter pole.
Because even if you split with them now, you lost a game at home to Baltimore. They've already won at Baltimore. You got to figure both probably, if you're in division title contention, probably going to sweep the Browns. So the division record, the tiebreaker is if you split with the Bengals, you're going to lose that tiebreaker now, and you're two games behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make up two games, make up three games essentially now, all of a sudden, to pass. So what say the Bengals now would say they're only a 500 team the rest of the way, right? They go 6-6. This means what you're going to have to go. What is that? 9-3 to pass the Bengals and win the AFC North, which that you know they've gone wild card before, but I don't think you want to put yourself in that position.
I guess what I'm asking this whole question about the Bengals is that you don't want to get out of touch with this team. Yeah, you know, you're going to San Diego, this team that has any number of injuries. I'm assuming they can beat this team because they don't have a lot of people who aren't going to play in this game. You know, and with Arizona, I think Arizona's beatable at home. You know, they can go to Kansas City, and I think as Mark mentioned, they're an average football team. They're 1-3, you know, but still is on the road. But I'm looking at that Cincinnati game. Maybe I'm looking too far ahead, but I still think that that game is going to matter. It's going to really matter. And the thing is Cincinnati gotten to a point now, even though they won, as you pointed out many times, Chris, even though they won the division any number of times over the past several years, and they'll get a lot of love for it, this team is still pretty. Hey, guys, we got to get to our ups and downs. And when you're playing.
Boy, that was a quick
transition. Yeah, quick transition because I find myself deviating from the point here. But anyhow, we get to our ups and downs, and it may be a little easier to find a down when you're coming off a loss like you did against Baltimore.
How do we do this? Should we do up and down what we think they're playing? Maybe I'm approaching this wrong, or what they did last week. Moving forward, right?
What they did last weekend going forward.
Whatever.
You put them all together. What you get.
There isn't like a
let's get Buzz first because it's going to take him 10 minutes.
Arrow up, Mike Mitchell. Arrow down, Antonio Brown. Done. Okay? How's that?
Let's let this marinate. You can't just let it sit.
You want explanations or not? I'll be more than happy to give you an explanation, but if you don't want me to,
I just need you to explain Antonio Brown.
I'm going to get the pay no matter what, whether you let me talk or not.
Wow, that's debatable.
Antonio Brown, I think, and the way he even –
You asked
him. See, here he goes. Here he goes.
Do you want it or not? Okay, I'll stop then. I think he knows it was damaging to his reputation that game by not having Ben Roethlisberger.
Getting 5-50.
A perception that Roethlisberger is what makes him. Like, think about it. We had a debate last year. Who's the Steelers MVP? Brown or Bell or Ben? And you can make a case for all of them. It's one game, yes. But after watching that, can you say Brown's the MVP whenever he obviously needs Ben? Okay, that's that. Mike Mitchell, I think, because I think I'm always championing him because he's always the whipping boy for everybody. I think he's been really good this year. And
he still doesn't like you.
Run, pass. Me? James Harrison doesn't like me. But
no, James Harrison
doesn't like anybody.
Like
so
come on. All right, are you done with your arrow up and arrow down? You explain
I guess, me? Unless you want me to do more. I can go more in depth if you'd like.
I'll go arrow up, Mike Vick. I think Vick is just his circumstances last week why he – I think he played decent. I think he played well enough to win. Give him 5 days of practice. I think he'll do fine. So they need him to do fine. Arrow down. Wow. Who should I go here? I should go Roosevelt Knicks just to mess with you, but I won't do anything. I'll say arrow down.
Just pick up the backup.
You know what?
Court.
I'll go arrow down Marcus Wheaton. The guy, I know he got a little banged up, but he really hasn't produced in Martavis Bryant's absence.
Because like Wheaton, he tried to stay out of the way, stay out of the spotlight, and you still didn't.
He's in that slot. He should have been. I think he is not played up to his potential through the first month of the season. So arrow up, Mike Vick. Arrow down, Marcus Wheaton. Ralph.
You know, those are away. Actually, I was really impressed with Chris's down arrow with Antonio Brown. More so than what you just came up with. Marcus Wheaton.
Very disappointing.
He likes Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah, I mean, come on. My arrow up.
See, I'm professional. I keep personal feelings out of it.
Okay, well, my glass is always half full. So I'm going to go, with my arrow up first. I really thought, looking at this football game, that, defensively, the entire defensive line. I've been kind of hard on Cam Hayward sometimes. I'm thinking, For a guy as a first-round pick, I look at, Stephon Tuitt, and I think he's advanced ahead of him. I think he has progressed ahead of him. But I thought the defensive line as a whole did a great job, especially in short yardage situations against Baltimore. When you look at the entire season, that defensive front has been okay. I mean, you can't ask, you know, for them to do more than what they have. They've done a nice job of, you know, funneling the running backs, you know, to the linebackers. But at the same time, you know, my down is on the same defensive front. This is just fascinating to you guys.
Oh, no.
But the nose tackles did a lousy job, especially in the second half. They were being manhandled. And that just created these gaps, these huge seams, you know, for Justin Forsett and the running backs to just slip through and gain huge yards, which in many ways, you know, position Baltimore to get their touchdown, position to get the game winning field goal. So, yeah, on the one hand, the defensive line, great, especially the defensive ends, but in the nose tackle, they were absolutely awful.
We done.
We're done. That's our show for this week. Next week, we'll talk about that San Diego game, that Monday night game. And we'll talk more about the Steelers Roundtable next week.
Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills and online at duffysbeer.com.